Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Lord, we are going to celebrate here with all the congregation Jesus' birth today. And we just thank you, Lord, for everything you are doing in our midst, everything you do all the time. Sometimes we just are amazed at the things you do. You are truly a sovereign God, and you are in control. We just praise and thank you, Lord, for everything, opening our eyes, drawing closer us to growing closer to you, Lord. And your blessing, Lord, that are always there. We just praise and thank you today and ask you, Lord, that we may be able to connect with the truth and what you did in coming down here 2,000 years ago, just about, Lord, to make everything different, Lord, for everybody. And we just thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So really, you know, God is a mighty God, but not always work the way the world works. Well, actually works always the opposite way, completely differently, not the way the world expects. In fact, when he came, not many people realized what was going on. And only a few. You know, the thing is, you know, even the one that had been trained, guided, ministered to for generation, missed him completely. As in John 1:11 says, you know, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave him the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name. Hallelujah. Who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, but not of the will of man, but of God. That makes all the difference. That is a completely different existence we come into when we experience that rebirth, when we are born spiritually by the power of God, receive his life in us. This was an event that was prophesied many times for centuries before. And everybody was waiting for it. But when it arrived, almost nobody was there. Isn't that amazing? See, generally, it's not the way we think that God is going to do the work. He has a special way to do things. And when we learn his ways, then we can know what to expect. Understand when things come around that he does the work. And not be confused by the physical things that appear to the eye. Because there are things that are much bigger that take place in a spiritual dimension. Praise the Lord. See, it was prophesied even before the fact that he was not going to be accepted. He was going to reject it. Psalm 103. 18 verse 22 says, okay, the stone which the builder have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord doing, wasn't their doing, wasn't our doing, okay? And it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You see, we should really rejoice even just remembering what took place that time. That wasn't really anything so magnificent in the physical. It was just the opposite. But it was something that was amazing from the point of view of the spiritual things that was taking place. See, there has been so much confusion about what, how, and what happened at that time, even within Christian circles. There are so many different theories on how God could, you know, become man at the same time. And there are so many different doctrines that have been generated by people coming out with their own ideas, their own thinking. When instead what they should do is to go to the Word of God, because only there they can really see the truth. Praise the Lord. And we have been, I've been talking about the doctrine of God for the last little while on our Thursday meeting, and talking about different aspects, you know, before, you know, talking about generally, in general, God's characteristics. But now we finished that, and we started to go more into the, you know, going to be a period in which you go on the incarnation. We started last week. And there are many reasons why this was so important for us. It was actually the only way that things could happen the way, because it was God's plan to save us. Okay, but there are different aspects that we are going to be looking at. And last Thursday, what I talked about was all the different, not all the different prophecies, but just some of the prophecies, because even that was too much, because there were so many, you know, and how they were fulfilled when Jesus came. Okay, the idea is that just looking only at that, it should be, you know, having an effect on us, impact on us, opening our eyes to see how unbelievable is our God, how superior to anything else. There is no book like the Bible. There is no book that has so many prophecies about what was going to take place in detail, with complete accuracy, that is impossible, that there is no other way that that thing can come together than by God putting it together. From different people, at different times, different centuries even. Okay. And all that, you know, was just his way to prepare us, his way to make sure that when was the time, we can recognize. Because prophecies are not something that we look at just to predict what's going on. It's to see when it's happening and recognize, oh yes, that is it, and has to be clear when we know it, when we know the scripture, when we know what the Bible says. And there is no doubt that when Jesus was born, everything fitted perfectly. That no one could have fudged up or put it together, you know, in such a perfect way. Everything was predicted, even the time. But not only that, the place and everything else. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know. The fulfillment of the promise of the Savior, of the Messiah, okay, started from the very beginning, just after Adam and Eve messed it up. It was amazing how God spoke to the serpent and prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. So people may not fully understand what is there, but you know, if you can see putting the thing together, it's very clear. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, says, I will put my enmity between you, the serpent or Satan, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise, and you shall bruise his heel. So this is really God's plan. That was established before even creation came, because he knew exactly what was going to happen. It wasn't just something that surprised to him. God doesn't have any surprises. Everything is deja vu. Because he knows everything. He's everywhere all the time. Okay, so he knew it perfectly well, and he had planned before the beginning, you know, and was the way he was to actually make possible what he planned to have for man. Hallelujah. After that, there were hundreds of prophecies describing the coming of the Savior in detail. His birth, life, purpose, ministry, death, resurrection, and even what was going to come after. Praise the Lord. There is nothing like that in any other book that you can try to find. Actually, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, come even close to that. Hallelujah. And see, the thing is, God takes his time and he plans things. He's a planner, he's an organizer, he does everything in order. And so things develop according to his plan. He's in full control, no matter what anybody says. You know, it's not the enemy in control. God is. He has planned every detail and all the things according to his way, and the prophecy was nothing else than revealing that to us, to the people that were anointed by him. Hallelujah. Praise God. But when the fullness of time had come, you know, thousands of years had passed, okay, and the prophecy started to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. It started with just in a very private way. Okay. An angel appeared to Mary. Okay. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and the following verses talk about that event. Okay. Wasn't really what was taking place, was world changing. But the way God operated was just talking to somebody in their private place. Hallelujah. You know, and there it says, and then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call him Jesus," which actually is will be Yeshua, which actually means Jesus saves. So, you know, Jehovah saves. Praise God. And this was exactly what was predicted more than 800 years before. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, when it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear son, and shall call him name Emmanuel," which even the name was the same, which means God with us. And Jehovah saved us is the same. You know, it's the same idea, the same concept. "And he will be great, and we will call the Son of the Highest." This is what the angel said. "And the Lord God will give him the throne of the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Again, here is just the ongoing prediction, ongoing prophecies about things the way they are going to happen, in detail about things that happen. And then the angels explained to her, to make just sure, you know, as Mary was kind of confused, okay, found that kind of strange, because Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered, said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One will be born and will become the Son of God." Hallelujah. But to just add the whole thing, and to make her even understand even better, it just started talking about something that had happened before that she didn't know. Says, you know, "No, now indeed Elizabeth," who was your relative, "also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." So, "for God, for with God, nothing is impossible. See, God just knows everything. Okay. And he knows, and he can put all the things together so that we can see how much he knows. So that he, you know, is able to communicate to us the things that we need to understand. Okay, and that story, that communication convinced Mary quite evidently, because what she says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departed for her. Now, can you imagine what was going on in her mind? I mean, it was troublesome. It wasn't so much fun. Although it was maybe exciting one way, but another way, you know, the situation was not going to be that good. I mean, what Joseph was going to say? I mean, what the other people were going to say in their village? I mean, the fact is, there is evidence actually that gossip went around about saying things that weren't really pleasant about her. Okay. The thing is, sometimes when God chooses us, it's not going to be just an eventful thing. There are things that are going to happen. And, you know, we just needed this intervention to be able to handle it properly. And so she was informed. Okay. When God uses us, we need a strong character to be able to address the issues that are going to come up. Hallelujah. But, you know, God, the way it works is not just one thing. Generally, there are many things that work together, that they end up piling up into exactly the way that he wanted. Okay? You know, at that time, the Emperor Caesar Augustus, you know, made call a census. Okay, that had an impact on all this, because if that wouldn't have happened, they wouldn't have been the place where it was predicted that they were going to have the baby was going to be born. They had just to travel there, and when they traveled there, bang, the baby came. Okay? So you see, there was, because there was this census, okay, you know, all went to be registered, everyone, to their own city. So Joseph, because he was descendant of David, had to go. Joseph also went from Galilee, where they were staying, out of the city of Jerusalem, and then Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which was Bethlehem. Okay. Because he was of the lineage of David. So you see, all these things kind of a combination of events happening at the same time to make things be exactly the way God. Nobody can play around and make things happen that way. Just this by itself should be enough to convince anybody that God knows everything, plans everything, controls everything, is sovereign. Praise the Lord. So, you know, they went there to be registered with Mary, the betrothed wife, who was with child. I'm not going to go into the detail. We don't even have the time to you know. One could spend hours here just presenting and showing, you know, how significant some of these things were. What the meaning beyond just this simple story. Anyway. So it was that while they were there, the day was completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid it in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. See, it's another thing that God does generally. You know, he doesn't do things that, you know, such an important time, you know, would have done big story, big things. They didn't even have a place to sleep. They had to go in a stable to just, you know, even have the baby. Very, you know, the last place to go to, wouldn't you say? That was really, you know, but was a powerful lesson. The way God thinks is not the way we think. Okay. Yeah. And that is reflected everywhere. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, let each of you look out, not for his own interest, but also in the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a man. See, this was God's idea, God's plan, God's way of doing things that is really the opposite of what men do. Okay, they were trying to be impressive. They were trying to be significant. Instead, they, you know, the word says, you know, who exalt himself will be debased, and who humble himself will be exalted. And Jesus humbled himself in coming in those conditions. But he today is exalted above every name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, that's not the end of the story. There was something that was kind of significant and supernatural at the same time. It was given in, you know, the continuing in Luke chapter 2, starting on verse 8, there says, and now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I mean, that was kind of scary because it was unusual. The thing is, you know, these people didn't know anything. They just was there looking after sheep. And there is God communicating with them. The message that should have been spread today through all the TV and all the internet and all the things. There would go, you know, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just something happened up in the field in a place there with maybe, I mean, I don't, probably there weren't even too many, you know, just a few shepherds there looking after sheep. Praise the Lord. You see, this is the way, where were the priests and the religious leader of the time? They knew it. They knew all the prophecy. I mean, they knew everything about it. The thing is, they weren't ready to listen. They weren't even open to listen. Because it was not according to their way. And they got this bunch of shepherds, probably even uneducated or, you know, rough guys, go around to spread the news. Can you imagine the effect of this shepherd going there and telling other people what they heard and what they said? They probably said, you know, what did you smoke? I mean, that was going to be the reaction that generally people were going to have. I mean, there was nothing happening. There was spread like wildfire. It wasn't viral communication that was taking place there. Just hardly anybody listened. Anybody believed it. Doesn't say very much, but, you know, the only thing that the Bible says, they were amazed. I wonder what they were amazed about. The fact that these people were coming to tell this kind of a story to them. Because weren't somebody that possibly even knew too much on concerning the prophecies or everything else. And the other one did. But they weren't there. Reason is because they were open to listen. The other one weren't. And this is the way God works all the time. You know, when he communicates something, he communicates to those, the people that are open and are willing to listen and they are going to respond the right way, not to everybody because the other one cut him off. Praise the Lord. So, you know, so the angel talked to them, you know, and said, you know, that today, do not be afraid, behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be all the, with all the people. And they were born today, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He was, you know, they were been waiting for the Messiah for a long time. And for the last, you know, there have been so many prophets, hundreds of prophecies before. But for the last 400 years, there was silence. No prophecies was coming true. Okay. Probably everybody fell asleep, you know, when nothing happened, nobody, well, maybe you know, it doesn't happen or whatever. You know, the fact is that this was happening, okay? And at the same time, okay, this was a clear message. They understood there was a Messiah. Okay. So, and then, you know, you give them detail to find out, and this will be the sign for you. You will see, find a babe wrapped up in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth, goodwill toward men. Here I was showing there was a change in the way God interacted, the way God worked with men. Okay. You know. How did they respond? Well, they just went around, going away into the, you know, as the angel went away, you know, he went and found Mary and Joseph in the place there. And the baby laying in my manger. Okay. And when they had seen him, they made widely known, saying which was told them concerning the child. Okay. See, I wonder the reaction of people. Well, I just played it before, you know. And all those who were marveled. Okay. And Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. Praise the Lord. But the shepherd got the message. You know, it says in there, but the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they heard and seen, and it was told to them. See, after 400 years, the thing was taking place, and they actually were able to connect, but that were only those two people. Okay. Now, Jesus today is not in a manger anymore. He's not even on the cross. Hallelujah. You know, following the verse of Philippi that I was reading before in 2:8 says, you know, and being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every in heaven, and those in earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. You see, this is something that we can praise God because now, you know, we, as we get this communication, we know that He's the truth. We know that He's the Messiah. We know that we experience the impact of what He did. And so we just even remembering, okay, that took place about 2,000 years ago, we should rejoice and start praising God. We start understanding, you know, connecting with the way, you know, He works. Understanding the way He works. It doesn't work according to the way people do today, okay? He has, the way He came, appear nothing happened. Nobody even noticed it or just about. But now His position is again kind of hidden to the sight of everybody. There is a number of people that are believers, but many are not. There is so much evidence in the world, so many things that are happening according to the prediction that were given in the Bible. Yet, many think that just nothing is a fable or something, you know, it's tradition or whatever. People that don't want to hear, they are not going to hear. There has to be heart open to be able to receive these things. And this is the natural selection that takes place. It's according to the response of the heart that we are able to connect with the truth and believe things that are beyond our understanding and our imagination, that are too big for us to grasp with our little brain. Praise the Lord. You know, He has done so much for us. Hallelujah. You know, if we read Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, it gives us a bit of a grasp on that. It says there, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the element of the world. The things that we see, the things that we derive from our reasoning, they are the things we see. Okay. But when the fullness of the time has come, the fullness of the time is the time when God said, now is. He determines when the time is the time for things to happen. And it's not that for that reason that we are not free to choose what we do. It's just that for He knows everything that takes place, even before it takes place. Hallelujah. Okay. And so when, you know, the time for the fulfillment of His plan is, He set the time for it to take place. And now we know and we can learn and we can experience the truth of what took place there. Okay. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we may receive the adoption as sons. Hallelujah. We have been redeemed. You believe that? Redeemed means that they are paid off. They have been bought back unto God so that we can have a relationship with God. See, we should just at that idea, we should rejoice. We should be grateful. We should be excited about it because of all the implications. You know, it says there, you know, that we receive the adoption as sons. So really, you know, have you been adopted? Amen? You praise the Lord. You see, that means we are children of God. We are the same family that Jesus is. He is our brother. Hallelujah. And by what He did, we have access to God's grace, which actually is the power of the gospel for salvation. By our faith, by faith, by having faith in what He has done, we have access to the power that can set us free from anything. Salvation covers all the needs that we have. And it's valid today, it's powerful today, just as much as when He came out from the cross and was resurrected. Because that power, the grace is available to us, is nothing else than the resurrection power that Jesus had when He was resurrected. See, that's what makes us alive in God. That's what makes us free from sickness and disease. That's what makes us free from torment and problems and difficulties in this world, because he enables us to overcome. We are more than conquerors in him. Praise the Lord. I mean, we should praise the Lord about what took place that day. It was not that only one thing, but where, you know, everything that happened after. Without that, Jesus couldn't have been gone on the cross, but he did. Plus, we also, there's another thing that says there too. Okay. We have the inheritance. Inheritance. We may receive that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Says there. Verse 6. And because of you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son in your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. So is the relationship that has established between us, the love relationship that took place, that is poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are no longer slave, but son. And a son, then heir of God through Christ. So we are have an inheritance that we can receive from him. An inheritance that makes all the difference from, you know, our father's everything. And he's going to provide everything for us if we connect with him the right way. We are no longer slaves, but we are sons. Today, praise the Lord. And so we can rejoice. We can be glad. We can know that we have victory whatever things happen to us. If we just make that connection with what Jesus did about 2,000 years ago. That connection makes the difference. It gives us life, gives us hope, gives us strength, and gives us finally victory as we respond and connect with him. See, inheritance, it just doesn't happen that way if we don't even know that we are inherited. We need to know. We need to know what is ours, because he provided it for us. We need to know what he has done for us so that we can go and get it. And we have a part to play. And he has provided not just these things, has provided also the information we need, has provided the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, provided to us to dwell in us. And that Spirit guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. All truth. There is no other way. It's not, you know, I'm not putting down education, but there is no education that can give us the truth. Only God can give it. You know, I remember when I was in science, I thought that you have find the truth being a scientist. The more I studied, the less I knew. But when I made that decision, that day when he saved me, I said, I was looking for the truth. Now I got it. And I didn't have the whole thing. I mean, I knew nothing, but I knew what it was essential to know, to connect with God and start responding to his communication. Everybody can do that. Everybody can receive from him. Everybody can be set free. And the clock is clicking there. And I'm going to be obedient. Praise the Lord. Obedience above sacrifice. Amen. So let's close in prayer. Let's just open up our heart to what God has done for us. Let us be grateful and rejoice. See, joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Without the joy, we just miss many things. But when we really connected with Him, we had to be joyful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you came, Lord, and you, what you went through, Lord, wasn't easy, but was mighty, was powerful, and was able to minister to millions to be set free, to receive all the blessings that you only can give, to receive strength, to receive health, to receive well-being, Lord, to receive, Lord, eternal life. Eternal life, Lord, forever, so that we can be with you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you that we here together know that that is the truth and that you came, Lord, to set us free. And we can say today, I am free because of what you did. Not because of my works, but because of what you did. You set me free, and I'm grateful. I am grateful for your goodness. I am grateful for your peace. I am grateful for your patience with me. I am grateful, Lord, for your love that I share now with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.